This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, my loving Savior. His words for love that have been spoken. These truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
The second Sunday in Pentecost is by tradition Trinity Sunday, so Sharon's gospel reading is of the night visit of Nicodemus, and Dr. Wyatt shares that we too must be born anew.
Thank you, Dennis. It is Trinity Sunday. Sharon's reading is from the third chapter of John's gospel, and I want to explore just what this gospel says about who Jesus really is.
There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born?" And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said this to you. You must be born anew. The wind blows where it will, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know whence it comes or whether it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said, "How can this be?" Jesus answered, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand this? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life."
Thank you, Sharon, so very much. What Sharon has read is the reading for this traditional Trinity Sunday. And here is recorded the remarkable conversation that reveals so much about Jesus. The familiar story of Nicodemus, one who, as a ruler of the Jews, John tells us, came to Jesus by night. Like much in this Gospel of John, here is another individual unique to this Gospel, and one who will reappear in this gospel narrative later. The eyewitnesses in this gospel, and they are surely eyewitnesses, are varied, and the people and events are as well unique to this narrative. All of this, of course, as you can imagine, has provided the material for decades of very critical scholarship. At least that is what it is called. But remember, as believers, we will find that any testimony that asserts the truth of the events that we Christians embrace concerning this Jesus of Nazareth will be questioned. Basically, it will be an attempt to discredit what in this case is asserted from the beginning to the end as being the witness of one of whom we know that his testimony is true, unquote. Of course, such an assertion as that will not be left unchallenged by the secularists, the doubters, and those who despise our faith. In the case of Nicodemus, the event as recorded is hardly something that could not have happened, nor need it ever be questioned. In fact, what is written here by the beloved disciple is from the heart of one who has built the gospel upon his proclamations and teachings for generations of converts after establishing churches, nourishing them, all while contesting errors, misconception, and downright heresy. All of which has given birth to this beautiful, profound witness of what we call the Gospel of John. A witness who was most likely the last survivor of the inner circle of disciples. One who has lived then through the early persecutions and not without suffering. All to triumphantly produce a powerful narrative concerning that one he declares he heard, saw, looked upon, and touched. One he will call the Word of Life, the Word made flesh. He has undoubtedly written this gospel later in life, surely long after the other three gospels. Therefore, he is free to include details and individuals and events that the other gospels, because of the threat and vindictiveness of many in positions of power in Jerusalem and Judea, who had and would, if it were made even more public, seek to kill those so identified. They did kill James, wanted to kill Lazarus, and surely would seek to kill Nicodemus, who obviously, unlike Joseph of Arimathea, remained in Jerusalem. This, I believe, is why neither Lazarus nor Nicodemus are mentioned in the other Gospels. It was to protect them. And it is here in John's Gospel we first meet this man, Nicodemus, a ruler or a member of the Sanhedrin, who comes at night, perhaps to avoid the crowds. He seeks time alone, uninterrupted with Jesus. And yes, also probably he wants to avoid being seen by others, as he would be known, and thus he would avoid having to explain or defend what he was doing. But it was important enough that Nicodemus had to come, for he had questions. He was open-minded enough that he wanted to learn, to find out more about this man Jesus. And this is what we hear in his opening remark. Rabbi, Nicodemus's opening word is one of respect, for he uses the title, knowing Jesus had not studied the expected years at the feet of one of the renowned teachers in Jerusalem. Yet even more is at play than just a simple acknowledgement that Jesus had what could be called pupils, or as the gospel calls them, disciples. It is more, as Nicodemus will say it, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. It reveals much about this night visitor. First, he speaks of we. There are therefore others. And also he believes Jesus is of God, or as he says, God is with him. For his signs point to God. Thus he must be anointed of God, a righteous man, one appointed and set aside by God, at least like the prophets of old. For clearly the call, the empowerment of God is upon him. For as he says, no one can do such signs. God must be with you. The signs, the marvelous healings, surely reveal the mark of divine approval. He is obviously then one with whom you can ask those important life-changing questions and perhaps provided a real answer. Nicodemus has come to ask those questions that have plagued all of humanity since the beginning. Questions about God's nature, his purpose, and what the future holds. But to a Jew of the first century, all of this is wrapped up in the term kingdom of God. Note that Jesus does not condemn his night visit, but openly receives him. But Jesus doesn't wait for any questions to be uttered, for he knows why Nicodemus has come. So Jesus gets right to the point. Verily, verily, or literally, amen, amen, or what I say now is extremely important. I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I have used the words born anew to translate the Greek anothen, which means from above, as it is translated elsewhere in this gospel. But given how Nicodemus will misunderstand Jesus' meaning here, as being born once more or anew, for the Aramaic that Jesus has clearly used implies not just born again, as many have preferred to understand this here, but born in a radically new way, for it does mean born from above. Jesus is speaking of a rebirth from heaven, or spiritually, and if not so born spiritually, one cannot even see the kingdom of God. The idea of this kingdom is the most common topic of Jesus' teaching in the other Gospels, but here is the only mention of the kingdom in this Gospel of John. But the answer to this statement by Nicodemus indicates that he understands this as a physical birth. This seems odd for such a leading teacher of Israel, to not see the obvious symbolic and spiritual meanings. Perhaps Nicodemus felt that such a reference, appropriate for proselytes and sinners, should not be used in reference to a Pharisee, a member of the Sanhedrin. Or again, Nicodemus may just be confused with a bundle of doubts and questions. Perhaps his hopes and fears are too great to receive such a fresh beginning. For as he says now, is this possible? How can one be born anew when he is old? Then again, Jesus reiterates the importance of what is to follow. Verily, verily. And Jesus now explains that being born anew is to be born of water and the Spirit. This unusual phrase should be seen from Jewish eyes as referring to the miracle that takes place when the divine remakes a man. This is the activity of the Spirit, seeing such spiritual activity to be like water. The spiritual seed is watered, which will remake the seed. Such a regeneration is indispensable of one who is to actually enter the kingdom. What is clear and unavoidable in all this is that any human addition or activity to our entering God's realm is obviously excluded. The activity, the empowerment, the involvement of the Holy Spirit is absolutely necessary to becoming part of God's kingdom. A spiritual birth is necessary. Jesus now tries to further prepare his visitor by saying, "What is flesh is flesh. What is spirit, so do not marvel." This world and its sinful nature cannot give rise to what Jesus is speaking of. This earth gives rise to only the flesh, and this is vastly different from what Jesus is speaking of. Jesus' use of the word must emphasize this. He is saying that there is just no other way except by being born anew, born of the Spirit. Jesus speaks of the wind blowing where it will. One hears it, may even feel it, but one does not know from where it comes or where it goes. In Greek as well as Hebrew, the word for wind, breath, and spirit are all identical. The Spirit breathes where it will, as does the wind. And just as we humans have difficulty comprehending the wind, neither can we humans comprehend fully the Spirit's activity in our rebirth. But it is what must occur in order to enter in or even see the kingdom. Those in the natural may not know neither the origin of their life nor their destiny. But in the Spirit, this is to change. But Nicodemus seems baffled by all this, saying, "How can this be?" Jesus responds, and not too gently, "You are a teacher in Israel? You, a noted Pharisee, professing to know the things of God, even to purport to teach the things of God to others? As such, you should know that no one is able to come to God in his own strength. No one can assert his own righteousness as sufficient before God." Surely the statement of Jesus that one must be born anew may seem fresh and different, but it should not be that astonishing. Again, Jesus uses the solemn, "Verily, verily," and here Jesus will emphasize that he knows of what he speaks, This is not an opinion. This to Jesus is objective truth. He speaks of what he knows. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? If Nicodemus is having trouble with something so basic as spiritual rebirth, how can he grasp what more Jesus would tell him? And this is where Nicodemus's mind is stretched even more. Jesus now makes it plain that he can speak with authority of the heavenly, truly spiritual things. No one has ever ascended to heaven, but he, Jesus, has come down. This heavenly origin marks Jesus as unique. Mankind cannot lift himself to heaven. Only in the new spiritual birth is such an ascent unto God possible. A birth only of the Spirit, and still is only affected by the work of the Son of Man. Humanly speaking, this is simply not possible. It is a gift of God. It is Jesus Christ, one with God, who put on our flesh that he might with his own hands lift us to a place alongside of him. Jesus closes this all with the image of the bronze serpent in the wilderness being lifted up, that those who believe in the word of God given Moses would be saved from the deadly bite of the serpent. So too Christ is to be lifted up, and by the means of his humiliation, we who believe will be saved, or as he puts it here, may have eternal life. This is because, and only because, of being born anew, born of the Holy Spirit, because he was lifted up. Many parse the words, debate the meaning, look for some wiggle room, but it is really very simple, if not spiritual in outlook. One must come to a new life in him. It is not church attendance, remembering his death, taking wafers and wine, not giving of our wealth or widow's mite, not in good deeds, all of which is very important as an outworking of our new spiritual birth. But they are nothing, nothing without that spiritual, that new birth, our being awakened to the Spirit's indwelling. We cannot enter, let alone see the kingdom, his realm, without being of him and so born. So I urge all to look upon he who was lifted up, our sin-bearer, who took upon himself all that the ancient dragon, that deadly serpent, would put upon us, that if we will believe, we may have eternal life. O Lord, do not cease to lift us up. Enable us in our walk in thee. Equip us in our new life and the abundance of your Holy Spirit, that we might see your mighty hand at work, your signs and wonders, that indeed one day your kingdom will come on earth as it is even now in heaven, all in your precious name forever. Amen and amen.
This Trinity Sunday has been different, as we have with Nicodemus been shown a side of Jesus of Nazareth that certainly he was unprepared for. We have an advantage over this Jewish leader, but often even the advantage is unused, for many Christians are uninformed on this cardinal tenet of our faith. That is why Thomas is offering this week his primer on this subject titled, The Trinity and Divinity of Christ. If you are at all interested, do write and ask for The Trinity and Divinity of Christ. It is yours at no charge. We also want to thank all of you who, by your thoughtfulness and prayers, have kept this ministry vital and on your wonderful radio station. We depend on dear people like you for the Word of God to be broadcast to a world that is increasingly so in need of hearing the good news of God's wonderful grace. Again, we sincerely thank all of you who are praying for this ministry. God bless you for your support. And we are here as well to intercede for your requests. Our addresses are Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1, or you can contact us on the internet at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. The lessons in this narrative do reveal so much about our Lord. Let us never tire about what Jesus has wrought and what this faith in him has brought to this world. And now, as we close, Dennis will provide our addresses once more. As Joel Houston comes to close, let us rejoice together that there is no other name. And until next week, remember, it is always about Jesus.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available, and for this Trinity Sunday, Dr. Wyatt is offering a copy of his book, The Trinity and Divinity of Christ. Here is provided the basics in a clear and understandable style. These key Christian doctrines of the Trinity and the divinity of Jesus the Christ. All you need to do is write and ask for The Trinity and the Divinity of Christ. It can be yours at no charge.
Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time. And remember what God has promised to those that love Him.